Good morning, everybody. I'm a little out of it today, so this is all going to be by the grace of God, if this comes out right. Today, I will be talking about a clear conscience and how important it is. Now, when I first took a look at this MP3 by Keith Moore, I didn't really think it was that important. I mean, the first time I'd heard about a conscience was in Pinocchio when I was a kid, and I thought if I lied, my nose would grow. So it didn't really mean too much to me. But as I listened to this, it went a lot along with condemnation, and that's how I realized that this was something very important to our walk with the Lord. The definition of conscience is the inner sense of what is right and wrong in one's conduct or motives, impelling towards the right action. There are two types of conscience. There's cleared and smeared. Now, of course, smeared doesn't sound too good, but a clear conscience, I'm going to tell you why. That's what you need to have. Keeping a clear conscience keeps us sharp to hear the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we all know that's important, especially me. Don't let things bother you in your conscience so you can live in peace. And clear your conscience or you won't be able to operate properly, and that can be anywhere from mentally, emotionally, to physically. It affects all areas of your being, and I'll get into that a little later, why it does that. Now, the Lord has said it is okay to be angry, but don't sin, and don't let the sun go out on your anger. You got to deal with it. And that's part of having a clear conscience. Later on, I'm going to talk about letting things pile up, and anger is one of those things, because anger, if not dealt with, and if it isn't righteous, can soon turn into hate. And hate is one of those things that builds up upon our spirits. And hate, the Lord says, is just as bad as murder. Because hate is actually an idea. And ideas, if we let them manifest for long enough, eventually turn into actions, whether it be murder or just something else that just isn't right. In walking with the Lord, two things will happen over the years. You may either become sharp and strong in the Lord, or dull and clouded. You may only see things of religion in the natural and not of the Spirit. And when a person becomes dull, if they stay on the path they're traveling, it will only become worse and worse until they are deaf to the voice of God and blind to His blessings and favor around them. There's hope, though. Even the most dull blade can be once again sharpened and brought back into its rightful place of usefulness. We as a body of believers and ultimately a family are responsible to keep each other accountable and in good spiritual health. Now, I know it can be awkward to ask how someone else is doing with their faith walk, to ask it or to be asked, but it's very important that we do that, because when someone isn't keeping me accountable on how I'm doing with my faith walk, I find myself slipping. Because, I mean, even lately, I've been having a struggle of holding on to God. You know, and my parents, thank God, they always are asking me, are you in your word? Are you talking to God? How are you with your relationship with God? And I may come across as, oh, you know, I hate it when you do that. But really, it keeps bringing it up in my mind that this is something I need to do, and it's important, not only to me, but the fellow believers around me. Inside each one of us, there is God and His divine presence and direction. But when we fill our spirits with clutter and junk, it makes it harder and sometimes impossible for us to see or even hear God in anything, including within our own selves. We know God's in there somewhere, but we can't always find it, because we've buried our salvation under media, issues, memories, and anything else that clouds our minds. Now, when I was in Arizona, I did a lot of thinking about things, and I figured something out. Your mind is nothing more than something like your liver would be. It's a filtration device. All it does is take what your spirit knows as both emotion and thought, and it filters it out. Now, Your heart and your mind are two separate things. The heart is more emotionally based and the brain's more logical. The brain essentially processes your logical emotions and the heart processes the emotional. Now, the mind and the heart are both worldly things. They're both part of your body and they are not of the spirit. So whereas your spirit can discern things, your brain or your heart may lie to you. As it is said in the word, your heart is a wicked and evil thing, as is your mind. Now, the thing is, with age, it gets easier to have things pile up inside of you. And if you aren't diligent with cleaning them out, they will inevitably build their own junk empire upon your life. You will no longer see God, only the decaying empire of the physical. But the funny thing is, it's so simple to clean up. It isn't always easy to tear down a stronghold at first. But once it's over, you realize that it wasn't that hard, and now you feel much better. After it's all been torn to pieces, then you can experience God in full. See, oftentimes, subtly, this junk comes in. Just like a breeze would carry it and would get caught there. But then after a while, you start to feel it, and more stuff gets piled in and in. And by the time you finally realize that you have junk in your life and in your spirit, it's too late. You have too much. Then you begin to feel overwhelmed. And that's where the discernment of your spirit and your mind starts to get clouded. You feel hopeless. You can't see God. And usually this is our own fault for not being sharp and seeing where the buildup has started and stopping it before it gets too bad. Living in clarity is not a one-time, go down to the altar and cry to God, and I'm healed for everything. We must live and walk in it. Oftentimes, little spirits of condemnation slither up upon us and perch on our shoulders and whisper into our ear how wretched we are and how terrible we are. But we are sons and daughters of God, and we don't have to take that. I remember who dwells in me, and I remember the day I met him. So I don't have to receive that. You don't have to receive that. Our spirits inside of us were made by God. Perfect. Now, because we are in a human form, a vessel, we are made imperfect by our own devices. But Ben said something to me a little while back that really struck a chord. It was a Bible study, and he said that somewhere in the Bible it says that we are supposed to be like Jesus, but we can be even more like so. Ben said if we make the conscious effort to constantly live in the presence of God, we don't have to sin. We can be tempted as Jesus was, but we don't have to sin. But again, comes with a clear conscience. All this junk of religion comes into our lives, and we say, oh, that's too hard, or, oh, I'm not good enough, or, woe is me. No, Ben was right, and God was right. We don't have to sin. We don't have to deal with the clutter, and we don't have to deal with all these things that are coming at us. We don't have to deal with the condemnation. You know, it's all just a facade. Satan's number one thing that he comes against you with is lies. It is his only weapon, and it is powerful if you let him use it. The only time lying will work is if you believe it, and that the main reason why you would believe any sort of lie is uneducation or arrogance. Those are the two things. Now, I believe not only in America, but in the world, we have a lot of problems with educating ourselves, whether it be the speed limit laws, which I know that happened with me, or anything else from what's going on in Japan right now. I mean, we don't educate ourselves, and we only focus upon ourselves. And then when we get in trouble or when we fall, we don't really see it. I lost my train of thought. Great. But we need to educate ourselves, and the best place to educate yourself is in the Word. You know, God spoke it out through people, they wrote it out, and it's been the first book ever printed, the longest lasting book on the planet. You know, it speaks constant truth, but yet we can't even take the time of day to crack it open And I know that actually God was dealing with me on the way here. Just I was coming to church and I was like, God, I'm sorry I've been neglecting you. I've been being selfish, you know, because I realized that all the time that I have that I could be getting in the Word, even if I have free time, I just want to be lazy and sluggish. And that's another thing. The devil's just saying, oh, you don't got to do that. You have all these other things that you need to do, and you need to get that done, and God's not important. And I believe that. I've been believing that for about 2 to 3 weeks now. It's not true. I have plenty of time for God, and He's waiting for me, and I'm being negligent. God loves us, but we need to seek Him. And in order to seek Him in His fullness, you got to have a clear conscience. So whatever gunk is on your spirit, whatever you feel, just let it go. Give it to God. Because, I mean, I don't know if you guys know, but we are in the end times. This is the last stretch. This is the last lap. You know, you just got to give it everything and sprint towards that finish line, towards God. Because if we don't, you know, we all know where we're going to end up. All right, it's exercise time. On the count of three, here's what we're going to say. I am a new creation in Christ, and my spirit is clear. Everyone got that? One, two, three. I am a new creation in Christ, and my spirit is clear. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Well, I believe that. All right, and that is all I have.
Yeah, cord stuck. Yeah, there we go. Amen. We are new creations in Christ. Amen. Well, last night, the Lord reminded me that I was supposed to lead discipleship today. So, yeah. It wasn't Luke's fault. He told me last week. But so I went in my room about 11:30, and I go, Lord, what do you want me to speak about? Holy Spirit, tell me what you want me to speak about. And the two words came up in my spirit is, wait patiently. Wait patiently. So, and then he took me to Luke chapter 8. We're going to go Luke chapter 8 this morning. Let me move some things around. And 11 through 15, it's Jesus was explaining the parable of the sower. And I'm sure we're all very familiar with the parable of the sower. But I want to focus on verse 15 today, real quick. And it says, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Keep it and bear fruit with patience. And what the Lord spoke to me is that when you step into your, and we've been going on about this in Bible study, He's giving me more revelation about, but when you step in to your place, when you step into the will of God with your life, you know, things may not seem in the natural to go all dandy and great all the time, right? So, when these opposition, when these things come up that kind of rock the boat a little bit, the Bible says you bear fruit with patience, knowing that God is there. He's supplied everything you need to get the task done. Okay? And so I looked up that word patience. In the Strong's, it's, and in Greek it's pronounced, now excuse me if I get the pronunciation wrong, but it's Hupomnane. I think that's how you say it. I may be wrong, but it's fine. You guys can look it up and try and pronounce it yourself. But But the word combines hoop, or hoopo, which means under, and mane, which means to remain. Okay, and it describes the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances, not with a passive complacency, but with a hope, with a hopeful fortitude that actively resists weariness and defeat. Actively resist weariness and defeat. So, you know, when the Lord speaks something to you to do it, and you do it, and it doesn't seem like it's working out, you stand steadfast. You stand with patience. And that actively resists defeat. That actively resists defeat. And the Lord will always guide your steps. He will always be there with you no matter what. And when the troubled times come and you think, maybe this wasn't what the Lord spoke to me, you just sit impatiently and continue what the Lord told you to do. And He will bear you up. And He will get it done for you. You don't have to do it in your own power. You don't have to do it in your own might. God sent His Holy Spirit to help you. He gives you that grace to do what He's called you to do. All you have to do is walk in that and be patient in the will of God. And He will do what He's told you that He will do. It doesn't matter. You just need to have a little faith and say, you know what, Lord, I'm waiting on You. I know that I know that I know that I know that You will provide, You'll strengthen me, You've given me peace, You've given me joy. I don't have to, you know, be in fear. I don't have to stand back and go, maybe this wasn't the will of God in my life. Maybe I didn't hear right. God will always, always come through for you. You just patiently wait and You will bear the fruit that He's told you You will. Amen? So that's what the Lord showed me. We'll go to Proverbs real fast. Proverbs 28. And it says, a faithful man will abound in blessing. A faithful man will abound in blessing. When you're faithful to something, when times get tough, you just don't go, I give up, I quit, I'm done. But when you're faithful to something, you keep pressing on. You keep moving towards the goal. You continue what God told you to do. And what does the Bible say in Proverbs? It says that a faithful man will abound with blessing. Amen? So how many of us are moving in the will of God in our lives? I know I am.
I am.
Amen. And so you will abound with blessing, with continued patience, continuing in His Word, being faithful to what He has told you to do. You will see God's blessing in your life. You'll see God's blessing in your family's life. Amen? Amen. So with that, we'll give a little bit of time to set up for our service. So let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Father God, I thank You, Lord. I praise You and thank You for all that You blessed us with today, Father God. I pray, Lord, that Your will be done in this service today, Father God, and that Your Holy Spirit will flow through us, Lord, and that You'll come down in this place today, Father God. I thank You for that, Lord. Praise You for that, Father God. In Your name I pray. Amen.